Today on Seculo, Ilhan Omar claims ignorance on CNN over her anti-Semitism. You won't believe what she had to say.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome to Seculo. We're taking your calls on this at 1-800-684-3110. You know, there's this, I'd even call it controversy, but for Washington, D.C., there's a couple of Republicans, too, I think, making this more controversial than it should be. But it was a decision by Kevin McCarthy to remove Ilhan Omar from the Foreign Affairs Committee, which works differently than how he removed Swalwell and Schiff from the Permanent Select Committee. We'll get into those details, because there actually has to be a House vote on this, which is interesting, because you would think you become leader, Speaker of the House, and you would be able to remove and add people at will. Certainly, of course, there's negotiations that go on with the parties, and parties try to put people forward. But to me, the fact that you even have to make this kind of case is interesting, and probably something that people are learning about. But for Ilhan Omar to claim this, I think we have to play the bite. It's the best way to show, because she's just feigning ignorance about all these statements she's been making about Jews and Israel since 2019 that we've called out as anti-Semitism before. We've called for Congress to take action like censures before. But take a listen to this. This is on CNN this weekend.
So when you apologized for the All About the Benjamins comment, you said anti-Semitism is real, and I'm grateful for Jewish allies and colleagues who are educating me on the painful history of anti-Semitic tropes. What did you learn?
A lot. I certainly did not or was not aware that the word hypnotize was a trope. I wasn't aware of the fact that there are tropes about Jews and money.
Okay.
Well, can I read that?
No, I said it. If you don't know that, then you're not qualified to serve on
Foreign Affairs Committee,
certainly, because that's just a basic knowledge. If you're going to be in any kind of like political or leadership role, if you're going to talk about racism and issues like that, I mean, this is again, it doesn't take a lot of education level to know that there's an issue with people who try to use Jews and money, like she did with these intentional tweets, like it's all about the Benjamins.
Well,
baby.
I want to put these up on the screen.
Hypnotize in her tweet.
Yeah, I want to put these up on the screen so for people that are watching us can see these tweets. So this one is, the first one is the It's All About the Benjamins, Baby. Benjamin's referencing money. And then she says, Kevin McCarthy threatens punishment for Ilhan Omar and Rashid Tlaib over their criticism of Israel. It's stunning how much time U.S. political leaders spend defending a foreign nation, even if it means attacking free speech rights of Americans. That's what she says. Okay, All About the Benjamins was a direct reference to it. Then she says, Israel has hypnotized the world. May Allah awaken the people and help them see the evil doings of Israel. This is a member of the United States Congress. Israel has hypnotized the world. Nazi propaganda from Goebbels in a movie he did. May Allah awaken the people and help. I wouldn't put her on any committee, frankly.
No, and a Foreign Affairs Committee is as close against like intel when you've got, again, you're dealing with foreign governments, you're dealing with classified information, and she has been highly critical of U.S. allies. And so why, like Israel, but also Gulf state allies as well, she doesn't like the Saudis, she doesn't like the Emiratis, she, of course, is fine with Hamas, she's, you know, and remember, she put in that statement once, we've seen unthinkable atrocities committed by, and she said, the U.S., of course.
Of course, right.
Hamas, Israel, Afghanistan, and the Taliban. She's comparing America to Israel to Hamas, the Afghani, I don't even know what it means to say just Afghanistan, but then the Taliban specifically. So comparing the U.S. to two foreign terrorist organizations and Israel to two foreign. You know, you want to take all the Israel stuff out? Take it out. There's Jews in America that are American citizens that deserve the same protections as well, that people don't have to be elevated who try to hide behind ignorance. She is not ignorant. She specifically used terms that were anti-Semitic, like All About the Benjamins, or to say the hypnotized word, or to compare Israel to Hamas to the Taliban. This is all done intentionally. Kick her off.
Yes, which
take
is.
Take her voice away.
Yeah, and but listen, we went to the International Criminal Court in The Hague to defend U.S. interests involving the war in Afghanistan, and you know what happened after all that? After all was said and done? The prosecutor's going to do nothing against the United States. Of course not. Back with more in a moment.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
You know, the other part about Ilhan Omar that you're not allowed to ask, which is, who is Ilhan Omar? Because that alone is racist, right? To even ask, you know, the brother, bringing in the brother, marrying a brother, who her background, is she even a practicing Muslim? And there's questions about that. But again, she gets elected by her constituents.
Yep.
That does not earn you or guarantee you a committee seat on the Foreign Affairs Committee.
Right.
And your constituents, by the way, these Republicans were saying, I don't like this because, you know, tough it up, because this is what they did to Republicans.
But there's CeCe's been looking at this. There's four Republicans right now that are at least on the fence on that, or some are saying they're going to vote against Kevin McCarthy on this and going to let her be seated because they don't want to cancel culture. What do we know so far?
Yeah, so publicly, there have been three Republicans that have publicly stated, Sparks of Indiana, Mace of South Carolina, and Buck of Colorado. And then Dave Joyce of Ohio has said in an interview that he wants to go ahead and let Omar speak before the vote. So kind of indicating that, you know, his vote might be swayed too. And there are only four votes. They can only afford to lose four votes.
Yeah.
So the Republicans, the unity that McCarthy brought and has been bringing, he needs to bring again to this vote and make sure that the Republicans stand firm and make sure that she does not serve on this committee.
I mean, I got to tell you, this goes back to the Eric Swalwell thing. So, you know, we went after that aggressively when we had that whole Chinese spy in his office, sitting member of Congress on the Intelligence Committee. We filed a Freedom of Information Act request. Of course, government didn't respond. Then we went to court, and then we got the responses. And here's what the responses showed, exactly what we expected. The deep state did not care that there was a foreign national spy from the Chinese Communist Party in a member of Congress's office. But you know who did care when we found all this out? The American people, including Kevin McCarthy. And that is, I think, what we have to focus in on here, is when you do get the information, like we did, or the non-information, which can be just as telling, we are able to take action. We went to federal court on that. Now, we've got about 350,000 or 340,000 people have signed on to a censure for Tlaib and Omar on their anti-Semitism, but they're trying to act like they don't even know what this is about.
Yeah, and especially with Omar, like, she supports BDS, which is the Boycott, Divest, and Censure.
Sanction.
And she equated boycotting Israel to boycotting the Nazis. As you've probably already discussed, you're talking about CARE. She's backed by CARE, which is the Council on American-Islamic Relations, which has direct connections with the Muslim Brotherhood. And she states that she looks forward to continuing to work for a more just and peaceful world, while she's saying Israel has hypnotized the world. May Allah awaken the people and help them see the evil doings of Israel. So she does not belong on this committee.
That's hardcore rhetoric.
I mean that is real. Well, first of all, the hypnotized terrorist language is Goebbels.
So you got anti-Semitism, but you also have terrorist-sounding language with the May Allah awaken. I mean, it's not to say that you...
It's a free country.
To say it that way, combined with the hypnotizing, makes you sound like a member of ISIS.
Yes.
Okay, I mean, kind of outside the norm of Islam, outside the mainstream of the Islamic world. And she plays to a community which has a lot of ties to, unfortunately, even though they're immigrants who have left Islamic terrorism, they're predominantly Muslim, and they've been targeted by, when ISIS was on the rise, when Al-Qaeda was on the rise, they target this area in Minnesota specifically to recruit people to take out actions.
You and I have been up there.
Yeah, I mean, where she's from in Minnesota, like where Tlaib is from in Detroit, this is basically these are Muslim majority congressional districts.
Yeah,
and most are refugees who have fled radical terrorism, but they target the youth, these terrorist groups who may not have remembered why they left in the first place, or may have been born in the United States, and fairly radical form of the religion being practiced there, including like types of like Sharia law, and like there's no free speech in these communities.
No, but they use free speech. Listen. She got elected. She's serving in the United States Congress.
Yeah,
no
hard.
One's saying she's not going to be seated. She should be seated. But do you have to put him on the Foreign Affairs Committee? Like, do you have to put Swalwell on the Intelligence Committee? Or Adam Schiff, who we had Mike Pompeo on here, who said everybody knew. Everybody knew that Adam Schiff was leaking classified information and security information to the media. This is not, you just say no. So part of what the dilemma here is, and I think this is the dilemma, is that there's such a thin majority in the House of Representatives, these plus four or five, that you've got to have everybody in line to do a move like this. I think it's the right move, but you have to have everybody in line here.
Yeah, McCarthy definitely needs to make sure that there's unity within the Republican Party. That, you know, I think Omar sees the writing on the wall. That's why she's trying to now come out and say, oh, I didn't realize, you know, that my statements were anti-Semitic. I had no idea. Which is ridiculous, because when you read the statements, there's no way. She's absolutely attacking Israel, definitively.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, there's no, I didn't know what I was saying. So that's ridiculous. And so hopefully she does see the writing on the wall, and hopefully the Republicans will stand together and make sure that she is not on the Foreign Affairs Committee.
Twice the House has had to vote to condemn anti-Semitism after statements by Ilhan Omar.
Isn't that sick?
That was Nancy Pelosi's House of Representatives.
Yep.
Now, that was their negotiation, I guess, not to directly censure her.
Yep.
But twice, under the control of Democrats and Nancy Pelosi, which there's a lot of talk about how those rule changes were made, how much control she had, moved forward with votes to condemn anti-Semitism only because of Ilhan Omar's statements. Twice.
Yep.
I mean, that's pretty unprecedented for a short-term congressional career, that the entire House of Representatives is voting to condemn anti-Semitism in the 2020s and 2019 because of an elected member of Congress using anti-Semitic remarks.
So she's already said we know that she's tweeted out that it's all about the Benjamin, which is a reference to Jews and money, a well-known trope that predates even the Nazis. But, you know, now she's saying to Dana Bash, I didn't know anything about it. Then she said this, that Jews, anyone who supports Israel, Jewish, has a dual alliance, which is another, that was a huge Nazi propaganda tool, that they couldn't be Germans because they had this dual alliance. And then, of course, you have the, as Cece mentioned, the unthinkable atrocities, the United States, Afghanistan, and Israel lumped in the same area. Remember when Tlaib said she had a calming feeling about the Holocaust? Remember that one? I mean, these people, so look. Yes, you have the right to freedom of speech. Say what you want. You're protected under the speech and debate clause of the United States House of Representatives. Guess what you don't have? You don't have a right to serve on a foreign affairs committee. You don't have that right, even if you're elected.
Right. Actions and words have consequences. And she's made it clear that she is not a fan of Jewish people. She's made it clear. That's a very nice way to put it. She is not. I mean, she is literally saying she's calling for Allah to awaken the people and help them see the evil doings of Israel. Oh, but she didn't realize what that meant. She didn't mean anything bad by that. I mean, that's ridiculous that that's her only way out of this. Again, I think she sees the writing on the wall, and Republicans need to stand firm and make sure that she does not serve on the Foreign Affairs Committee. She's not fit to serve.
So we have had over 300,000 people 340,000 people who've signed our petition. And that is a petition to actually, Jordan, get a censure.
Yeah.
And our government affairs team is circulating that information right now because this is nonstop.
There needs to be a reminder, I think, to these members of Congress about the fact that if you were in Congress previously the last 6 years, you've likely voted to condemn statements made by Ilhan Omar. Remember that you've done that. And remember that you've had to do that twice. So she doesn't learn. Like, she tried to say with Dana Bash, I didn't know I was trafficking in anti-Semitism. Even that statement.
You think about that for a minute. What is trafficking in anti-Semitism? Of course you're trafficking in anti-Semitism.
That's professional anti-Semitism,
yeah.
What she's talking about.
Well, look
there.
What they, you know, it's not just what they do, it's what they say. Now, here's the thing we have to realize. When we took action on Swalwell, which wasn't difficult because you had a Chinese spy operating in his office, and we actually went to federal court on that, what we learned was what they did, how they didn't react. So sometimes you learn by what they sent, what you find. Sometimes you learn by what you don't find. And you know what we didn't find in that one? Or they didn't produce documents showing a concern that a Chinese national spy with the Chinese Communist Party was in a congressman's office from the Intelligence Committee. And I want to play what this is, the words of the Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy. Listen to what he said about
phrase something very direct to you. If you got the briefing I got from the FBI, you wouldn't have Swalwell on any committee.
You hear that? Because I'm going to play that again. I'm going to set it up, and I'm going to play it again. This is the Speaker of the House who's getting briefed by the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and your American Center for Law and Justice had already been in federal court getting documents on this exact problem. And as far as Swalwell serving on the committee, listen carefully again to what Kevin McCarthy said.
Let me phrase something very direct to you. If you got the briefing I got from the FBI, you wouldn't have Swalwell on any committee.
There you go. I don't know how much plainer you could make it.
No, I think, again, these individuals, the fact that he's having to get briefings on Eric Swalwell from the FBI while he's on the Intelligence Committee, the fact that Ilhan Omar twice has had a House vote about, you know, stop making anti-Semitic remarks, and she's just now saying she figured out that these were
Jewish colleagues.
So it's just enough. There's consequences to elections. There's consequences to what you say, especially politicians. Your actions after what you say. I don't think this should be controversial.
Nope.
Republicans need to get their act together on this because Democrats would have no problem kicking off a Republican for less.
No, but it, like CeCe said, it's very, very close. We'll be back with more, including your calls, 800-684-3110, in just a moment.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
secular. So over the weekend, a horrendous terror attack in Israel. I think it's up to 11 now.
Yep.
People who have been killed. It started with 7. During the Holocaust Remembrance Day, on Friday services, you see this rise in Palestinian terrorism again. And we talked about the actions out of the West Bank, and it's really a lot of this being fueled not just out by Hamas or the Gaza Strip, but by this new hardline approach from the Palestinian leadership and Mahmoud Abbas and the Palestinian Authority.
Well, it's also because they're seeing that the U.S. position, I mean, when we had in the middle of the Abraham Accords, with all that was going on, when the move of the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, and you had nothing like this, and then a change of policy, which is what you're dealing with here, it's this change of policy, ends up with the Palestinians thinking they have negotiating room. So they amp up their people. There's some who were as young as 13 years old. Jeff Balaban, who is normally out of our Jerusalem office, is on his way back there this week. Jeff, your reaction to this latest tragedy, but also the change of tone from from Hamas, of course, and the Palestinian Authority.
Well, you're absolutely right, Jay. The message from the White House has been clear. They started the money flowing again to the Palestinian Authority. They've opened up the coffers for pay to slay, and sure enough, money is being used, including American money, to kill Jews in Israel.
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing, of course, a gunman who carried out the attack that killed 11, then a 13-year-old boy, Palestinian, shooting and injuring two Israelis. They're doing this for money. Well, like, the 13-year-old may be somewhat radicalized, but he's being encouraged to do that by a family. To get money.
Because when Jeff mentions the pay for slave,
literally martyr them.
Yeah.
A 13-year-old, because his parents want the money that comes to the Palestinian Authority if you carry out one of these attacks. Because even if you don't kill people, you get arrested. If you're in jail and prison,
they pay you money.
You're getting
so all let's these explain, benefits. Jeff. That we keep saying pay to slay because people don't understand that. That's actually a program of the Palestinian Authority where they pay money to families of those that are either imprisoned or killed by. For carrying out these attacks, it's interesting to me that during the previous administration you didn't see a lot of that, very little, because we cut off the money. But when you open that spigot of money, they have more disposable revenue, the Palestinian Authority, and we're allowing money from the United States to go to the Palestinian Authority, then going to the people that are committing these acts and atrocities.
That's right. Congress passed a law, Jay, called the Taylor Force Act, as you know, and we were involved, that cut off, it mandates that no money go to the Palestinian Authority while they're using money to pay the terrorists. And Trump abided by that, and Biden has gone back on that, started the money flowing. They claim it's going to hospitals, but we know the money's fungible, just sending millions of dollars over to the Palestinian Authority. And you see images of the mothers of these terrorists handing out candy after their children are killed, because they know their children will be killed while they're killing the Jews, and they're rejoicing, and now they're going to get money because America is paying for this.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there is probably a direct correlation, Jeff, between the fact that we open up the coffers back, they've got the money to now pay for the people to commit the acts of terror, so while they were being cut off and economically isolated, it's tougher to finance your terrorism. And we've seen that at a large scale from places like Iran.
Right.
This is at a smaller scale where it's, again, if millions of dollars flowing back opens up their ability to then kind of have this control over their populace.
It's also important, Jeff, for people to understand where this took place. This is not out in Judea and Samaria. This is a serious situation. Jeff, location-wise, where is this?
Jews. By pressure on Israel to make more concessions to the terrorists.
Yeah, but Jeff, where was this? I mean, this was not out in Judea and Samaria. This was in Jerusalem.
Both attacks were in Jerusalem. One attack was right outside the.
And we're going to have to go back to Jeff. We're having trouble with your your feed here. It's locking up. The point is, it's not far from our office. The point is that you've given them money, and then when you give them this money, it emboldens them, and they've been emboldened.
Yes, I mean, their grasp of power, anything they can do to keep control. I don't know what the long-term plan is for Mahmoud Abbas, but, I mean, he's very old. So, you know, what happens next there is probably an opportunity for the world, but an opportunity that we see under these kind of administrations, like the Biden administration, that they will squander completely. So there should not be like a peaceful transition of power there. We should encourage moderates. We should encourage good actors to come forward who are not so corrupt, not stealing this money from the people.
Well, they are known for that.
How is Mahmoud Abbas a multimillionaire leading up the policy authority?
Same thing with the
There's no explanation other than stealing money because there's no business.
No. Here's what Secretary Blinken has now said.
To take an innocent life in an act of terrorism is always a heinous crime. But to target people outside their place of worship is especially shocking. For every faith, the house of worship is hallowed. It's a place of communion, of awe, and, as the Matovu reminds us, of love. So Friday's attack was more than an attack on individuals. It was also an attack on the universal act of practicing one's faith.
Well, this is where Muslims always attack.
Huh?
This is where radical Muslims always attack.
Of course. He's acting like this doesn't happen. They always go to the synagogue. Why? Because guess who's going to be there? Jews, not Muslims.
Churches and synagogues.
Yeah. So here's, listen, to take an innocent life as an act of terrorism is always a heinous crime. It is. It's horrible. But to target people outside the place of worship is especially shocking. Why are you shocked, Mr. Secretary? They've been doing this for 30 years. They always go to the synagogues. It's happened not just in Israel, by the way. So this is what they do. Here's what they don't want to analyze, Jordan, is trace the violence to the money. Yep. When the United States cut off the money, the terrorism stopped. Why? They weren't getting rewarded for their acts of violence and vengeance.
It's for the government to encourage it because they couldn't pay the citizens back. They do tuition programs, long-term payment
programs.
We've been
in those refugee camps.
Yes, it is. There's no reason with the amount of money that we've all sent, the whole world has sent to the Palestinian Authority, that there should be anything that it should look like Dubai at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, it should be bustling with economic activity, but it's because it's still a terror-led state. They'll say former terrorists with Mahmoud Abbas, but they all come out of terrorist organizations. They're not business people. They haven't taken care of their own people. They haven't taken the resources that have been I can't even imagine any other place in the world that's received the kind of UN funding
that they have.
And the people still live in squalor not because of a lack of resources, but because of the corruption.
Three generations inside a refugee camp when hundreds, billions of dollars a year are given to the Palestinian Authority.
Everything's free.
To get their people out of refugee camps. They want them in refugee camps. That's what you understand. The Palestinian Authority uses that horrible living situation. We've been to them. They are terrible. To create the anger against the Israelis. When the money was cut off, though, it all stopped. And there was development happening inside on both sides of the fence. But that's all stopped now because policies have consequences. We're here for another 30 minutes. If you don't get the full hour of the broadcast, go over to SiriusXM. Of course, you can go to Rumble, Facebook, YouTube, wherever you get your social media applications. Of course, radio stations around the country cover the broadcast for the full hour. Some don't. Those that don't, just go over to ACLJ.org or Rumble, and you can get the full hour of the broadcast. Support the work of the ACLJ. You do that at ACLJ.org. If you enjoyed this broadcast, support the work at ACLJ.org. It really means a lot. ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo.
And now your host, Jordan Sekulow.
You know, I didn't even weigh in on the fact when Adam Schiff was kicked out of the committee, the first place he goes is TikTok.
I mean, think about that. We talked about that on Friday's podcast. You know. Can you think about that for a minute? He went to a Chinese Communist Party-owned app to announce his upset and that he's going to run for Senate.
Yeah, so it's like, what are you? Is it just, are you doing that on purpose? Are you really that uninformed and reckless, which is how he's treated classified documents? And there's a little bit of mix of that with the Adam Schiff world, I would say, as we got to know. Is it, there's part of it that seems intentional, and part of it is just kind of aloof to the real. It's like, you know, claiming that you've got documents you don't have takes pretty bold statement, or just kind of detached from reality to go on TV and say, I've got the proof.
Well, let's play.
That a president is a Russian spy.
We have this great soundbite that our team put together. This was on the Russia, you know, Trump and the Russia hoax. And this was a guy that wants to be on the Intelligence Committee. He's mad now that he's not. Take a listen to what he said.
So there's clear evidence on the issue of collusion, and this adds to that body of evidence. There's ample evidence of collusion in plain sight, and that is true.
Have Democrats found any evidence of collusion?
Yes, we have. You can see evidence in plain sight on the issue of collusion, pretty compelling evidence. And there is significant evidence of collusion. There is ample evidence, and indeed there is, of collusion of people in the Trump campaign with the Russians. I think there's plenty of evidence of collusion or conspiracy. All of this is evidence of collusion. There is significant evidence of collusion between the campaign and Russia.
Yeah, except $40 million and 2 years of investigation by the special counsel Robert Mueller concluded there was no collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia. We filed a Freedom of Information request on his colleague, Eric Swalwell's situation with the Chinese spy, and we get engaged in significant litigation. We started receiving the documents, and then things began to change. Why did things begin to change? Because based on the documents we received through our FOIA lawsuit on this in federal court, it became very clear very quickly that those deep state operatives that should have been concerned about it were not at all responsive or concerned with the potential threat by the Swalwell's potentially compromised position or his access to sensitive situations. Until the FBI then, after our lawsuit, decides, whoops, we better brief the leadership of the House so they know what's going on. And then Kevin McCarthy, and I'm resetting this for everybody, decides Schiff and Swalwell not going to serve. And then he was questioned, and the left was pushing him hard. And I thought Kevin McCarthy's response to this was fantastic about Swalwell. Listen.
Let me phrase something very direct to you. If you got the briefing I got from the FBI, you wouldn't have Swalwell on any committee.
How about that one? So here's what you had. Our ACLJ Government Affairs Committee went to work on this, and their Government Affairs team, and they were getting out on this. Our lawyers went to federal court on this to get the data. Working then with Congress, what happens? The FBI, once we file our FOIA, all of a sudden they decide they are going to brief the House leadership. And then it ends up in Kevin McCarthy saying, if you were briefed like he was, you wouldn't have Eric Swalwell on any committee. So there you have it, folks. That's where your support of the ACLJ gets you direct results.
Yeah, I think, again, with all of these actors, Schiff, Swalwell, Swalwell with a relationship with Fang Fang, the Chinese spy, stuff you couldn't make up. But they were making up stuff about the actual president of the United States.
They were spending time on.
And also where they put the resources and their thought process in the intel community. I mean, thank God there was an administration that was able to deal with them, but at the same time, destroy ISIS.
Yep.
Because that wasn't their focus. Their focus was how to politically use intelligence to go after domestic opponents inside the United States. And that's always wrong. It doesn't matter if you're saying that about a Democrat or a Republican. And you're not fit to serve in the position. If your office has been infiltrated by spies, you had a relationship with that spy, you're not fit to serve in that position. If you make anti-Semitic statements and racist statements, let's call that what that is, you shouldn't be on the Foreign Affairs Committee. It doesn't matter Republican, Democrat, it doesn't matter who you're being racist even against, but you're a racist, a known racist. Let's call her what she is. I think sometimes you use anti-Semitism not to call it what it really is, which is being a racist.
Right.
So we'll be back, 1-800-684-3110.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial at a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack. It's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible, and I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
Back to Secure. We're taking your calls as well. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. I wanted to add to as we're starting to take your calls as well, I'll take that call that came in from Daniel in California right off the bat. Hey, Daniel.
Hello. Hello. My name is Dan. I'm calling from Riverside, California.
Sure.
I want to thank you guys for your work. My opinion is about Representative Ilhan Omar. I'm speaking as an American, and she does not represent me as American, nor I don't want her to be in the Foreign Affairs Committee. She is anti-Semitic. She is a Marxist socialist. She is anti-American. Kevin McCarthy needs to get her off every committee that she's in. The last time I checked, the three Republicans who are letting Kevin McCarthy kick her off the committees are obviously rhinos, including Colorado Republican Ken Buck.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because it's very close. And Rick Rennell, our senior advisor for National Security Global Affairs, former director of National Intelligence, knows all about this. Rick's on with us. And Rick, Daniel brings up an interesting point. We're talking about Ilhan Omar. She has said horribly anti-Semitic things. We had the situation with Swalwell and the Chinese spy in his office. And yet it's going to be very close in the House whether that they can remove. Swalwell's already been handled, but the Omar one is vote is, there are four Republicans that may go the other way.
Well, I find it really troubling that she would be allowed to be on the House Foreign Relations, International Relations Committee. This is a committee that represents America and talks about our moral standing around the world. And I think that her views are very fringe in America, and she should not be able to somehow represent America to the rest of the world. And let her serve on some other committees. But I don't think that she's fit to be serving on a foreign relations committee. She is someone that is too much of a fringe voice. And Republicans and Democrats should agree on this. I'll just finish with this. I thought it was really interesting to see her with Adam Schiff sitting there at CNN, and she was trying to say that, you know, she didn't know that all these things that she was saying were anti-Semitic tropes. And Adam Schiff just sat there, stiff. He didn't say anything. And I think that his silence in the face of Ilhan Omar's clear anti-Semitism is a growing problem.
Yeah, I mean, she has this oversized influence because of her association with AOC, the squad, basically, and this growing movement within the left. But again, this would be up to Republicans. I think that the Republicans that are doing this are kind of suspect for each of their views. I think that they're doing it for their own politics. But ultimately, at the end of the day, Rick, I mean, they would have the Democrats, no problem. If you were a Republican making, and I think they call it what it is racist statements. And even if you took it, oh, she didn't understand it was racism. Well, then you're not educated enough to be on a committee like Foreign Affairs. And like you said, go on some other committees, learn and come back in a decade. But the truth is, if this was the flip the other way, there would not even be a discussion. The Democrats would just do it. It wouldn't be a media issue. No one would be trying to offer any grace to this other politician or other candidate or member of Congress.
Jordan, let's be honest, it would be celebrated. The other side would say this is a very brave and courageous thing that you're doing by getting rid of this voice. But I think that it's time that we look at the people of the districts for the representatives that are going to somehow vote to allow her to be a voice for America on these committees. I think the people in these districts should rise up. If you're a pro-Israel voice, if you're an evangelical Christian, if you're a Christian, if you are someone who cares about Israel, Jewish Americans, we should all speak up loudly to the representatives who think that they can vote for Ilhan Omar onto the Foreign Relations Committee. I think that she needs to be told that she does not speak for America, and that she doesn't deserve a seat on the Foreign Relations Committee. There are plenty of Democrats that can serve honorably on that committee, just not her.
Yep. I mean, I want to go to the next story, Rick, which is that it looks like Israel may have been behind a drone strike on Iran. That's what the U.S. official reporting. Reuters is reporting that. Doesn't know if it was a successful attack. The Iranians are saying it was not. But again, it kind of ratchets up the tensions and refocuses. There's been so much tension on Ukraine and Russia, but this new focus on Iran, which everyone knows is this continuing growing threat. They've had some relief from the Biden administration. They did get the full nuclear deal back, which is interesting that the Biden, Rick, your take on that is that even the Biden administration had to give up trying to get back into that JCPOA.
And they were desperate to make a deal. They didn't want to give it up, but they were faced with the reality of what the Iranian regime is doing. I think it's always important that we separate the Iranian regime from the Iranian people, because the Iranian people are suffering under this regime. And I am somebody who's going to have a very strong voice for Israel and not telling Israel what they can or cannot do to protect themselves, and also to think about their neighborhood. You know, if we were faced with Canada trying to develop a nuclear weapon to take us out, and we're saying things like America must be destroyed and let's get rid of America, and a regime that was literally denying basic human rights to its people, I wouldn't want another country telling us what to do about our security.
Right.
I don't think we should be telling Israel what to do.
You know, it's interesting. U.S. officials are pointing to an Israeli role in this drone strike against Iran. They are also saying on background that the U.S. had no involvement in this whatsoever. That doesn't mean that the U.S. wasn't aware that it was happening, but the U.S. was not involved. But it all points to this very strange policy that the current administration has as it relates to Iran. When you were in office, the position was very clear. Get out of the Iran nuclear deal. It was ridiculous. It put the whole Middle East on edge. And that changed the whole, and that's the reason we ended up with the Abraham Accords, because all of a sudden you had a common enemy for the Gulf states, for Jordan, for Egypt, for Israel, and for the Saudis for that matter. And now you have this, you know, Biden trying to get back into the Iran nuclear deal. It looks like that's not going to happen. But they don't want to say anything, Rick, that would be perceived as being anti the Iranian regime.
Well, look, I think this is the problem of the Biden administration, is that they confuse the Iranian people with the Iranian regime. We did a very good job in the Trump administration of separating the two. We understand that this Iranian radical regime is not representing the people and that the people are in the streets trying to say, get rid of this regime. For some reason, the Biden administration has an inability to separate the people from the regime, and they somehow think that if you're denying the regime money or honor, that somehow it's reflecting on the people. And I say, just talk to the Iranian people. I hear from them every single day, and they themselves are the ones saying that this regime doesn't represent them. Let's not confuse the people with the regime. The people of Iran deserve to have a better government than what they have. The Biden administration should think about this from a moral perspective and have moral clarity about calling out the regime in Iran and condemning it and not wanting to work with it.
Last thing, Rick, we're going to talk about this in the next segment, and that is your reaction now to the growing classified document issue that's now engulfing the former president, the current president, the former vice president, and now the National Archives has notified all living former presidents and vice presidents.
Well, I think it's really important that we start from the top and say that the president of the United States has declassification authority, and that when the archives comes in and starts talking to presidents and former presidents, that they should recognize that declassification authority. The National Archives doesn't have declassification authority. Right. It is the president of the United States and the director of national intelligence. So Joe Biden as a senator, Joe Biden as a vice president, did not have declassification authority. He should not have these documents. And if he does, we should look in every possible space that he has to say, why did you take these?
A lot going on there. Rick, we appreciate it as always. Thanks for being with us. Folks, I want to encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. We're down to the last, you know, this is the last couple of days of the month. And as always, your support makes a big difference. If you enjoy listening to this broadcast or watching us on Rumble or Facebook or YouTube, wherever you see it, or on television networks, I want to encourage you to support our work. That's how this broadcast stays on the air, on radio and on TV and on social media platforms. Go over to ACLJ.org, make an online contribution. It really means a lot if you enjoy this 1 hour of content. And then also we give you additional content during the day. So your support of the ACLJ supports this broadcast staying on the air at ACLJ.org. It's a great way to do it, ACLJ.org. And follow all of us, Jordan, at Jordan Seculo, at Jay Seculo, at Logan Seculo, and at ACLJ on True Social, on Twitter, on Rumble, of course, YouTube, and Facebook. We encourage you to engage in all of that, Instagram as well.
Yeah, that's ACLJ.org. Support the work of the organizations. ACLJ.org. We'll be right back on Seculo.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible, and I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial at a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack. It's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to Secular. We are taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Finish up today on the classified documents. I mean, I guess you scanned whatever, you know, whatever you want to classify it at this point, because now we're the latest move from the National Archives. I wonder if this just kind of puts it all to bed. Is we need to go to every president. We've obviously, which makes it look like they've actually been the problem, because they haven't been keeping track.
I think the
which explains more of like how Joe Biden can have documents going back to the 70s.
I think the tracking system that the National Archives was like the IRS, outdated, antiquated, not functioning. I think the National Archives did not have control of these documents. I think the fact that they've now asked that all former living vice presidents and presidents and others that had classified documents, but please check to see if you had them. And who knows what those presidents and Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, George W. Bush, of course, and then even Jimmy Carter, all the way back to the 70s with Jimmy Carter. Who knows what they're going to find? But I do think it ends this criminal inquiry. And the problem is that Merrick Garland, because of a lack of leadership, puts in special counsels against Donald Trump, then puts a special counsel in against the sitting president of the United States, and now they got the disclosure with the FBI working on the Mike Pence disclosures. So we look like Venezuela. We've got the former president under criminal investigation, the current president under criminal investigation, and I don't know what they're going to do with the former vice president. But this is – so if you didn't have special counsels in place, what Merrick Garland would do would say, okay, you know what? We're going to convert this from a criminal action investigation into a recover the documents and let's get them to the National Archives situation. But you know what? I don't know if he's got the stomach to do it. I don't know if he's got the wherewithal to actually do what would be right here, which would be call this off. It's embarrassing. It's a disaster. They're not prosecuting anybody for any of this, including the president, including the former president, the former vice president. It's ridiculous. And that's what they need to do. Roll this back. As I said the other day, put the toothpaste back in the tube.
Yes. But again, I don't, if all the people to do that, Merrick Garland is probably
least likely. That's the problem. So he's going to
have got all these special counsels he's appointed.
Have Robert Hur out there and Jack Smith already
doing
this.
They don't
want to
give us this power.
Of course not. They got power, and it's
they'll get their $30 or $40 billion to spend on something that goes nowhere because we've already got National Archives saying maybe it was their fault.
Yeah. Right. Which is pretty much what they're saying. Then you got the Hunter Biden aspect of this, which is becoming very interesting based on emails that have been disclosed.
Yeah. So I mean, Hunter has done filings back to 2017, 2018 on the Wilmington home. And again, I think that's Rick always makes that difference. Remember, we're talking about his time as vice president here, so someone without classification power, that Hunter over and over listed this as his place of residence,
yep,
his office, his billing address, when he was applying for some rental, you know, some kind of
property.
Credit check,
yep,
he used this as the property. We also know that Hunter was the main funnel source for a lot, like if Joe Biden needed $50,000, he went to Hunter.
This is why,
because Hunter would handle the business side, and then kind of
okay. So there's
give
a criminal investigation. We know this. There's a criminal investigation done by the U.S. Attorney in Delaware on the Hunter Biden situation.
That's where probably all this starts. Is it that Trump gets raided? They get nervous, but they get nervous because they already have the FBI digging through this.
Yeah,
stuff.
And then they up the ante by having a special counsel appointed. So he's getting real lawyers now. Yep. They've announced that, you know, over the last week or so that again, not disparaging the other lawyers, but I think the new lawyers coming in will do a better job for Hunter Biden because this whole situation with these documents has become a national embarrassment. And it's an international embarrassment as well. So going on and on about this, I think, does not serve the country well. It's not good for the politics. And then you got the politics. So President Trump this weekend had his start. Yeah. Although he already did the Ron DeSanctimonious thing, which I did not like, I think that saying things like that are not, that's not conducive to a serious debate about who should be the Republican nominee for president of the United States in 2024. And that's going to get serious in about 3 or 4 months.
Yes, and so he's trying to use this opportunity because being the first one out to be able to take the shots at individuals. Mostly, this is targeted DeSantis is ideas that can you get rid of them before they even have a chance to start.
I don't think you're getting rid of Ron DeSantis before.
No, I so far I don't think he's said anything that's, if you actually look at the, Ron DeSantis has a record about on COVID. Now, most people are calling it the free state of Florida. Logan has been the one who's been actually more kind of descriptive about how tough Florida's regulations were initially.
Well, initially, because they were letting hotels open, but then Airbnbs could not, which made no sense because Airbnbs were
there's
much safer than...
a lot of politics there.
A lot of politics there. The lobbyings were there.
So,
but that's when you're a governor, that happens.
That. Yeah. Okay, that lasted for a couple of weeks, and then it became the free state of Florida. So I don't know if the bring up how they'd handled COVID is really going to hurt.
But the naming, the name-calling.
Yeah.
Mistake, I think. Well, it's what you don't want to hear again.
Yeah, it may have worked the first time because it was something like, wow, politicians... calling people out and all this kind of, you know, maybe they're speaking truth. But if it just becomes part of a gimmick, then it takes away from when you call someone a name. But I the truth be told is Donald Trump's going to have a lot of support in the primaries. It's whether or not anybody else gets a 30%.
Yeah. I mean, DeSantis is going to be a serious contender. If Mike Pompeo runs, he's going to be a serious contender. Nikki Haley will be a serious contender. There's talk about Tim Scott.
But that's great for Donald Trump.
Because
the more you add to that list, if he's at 28 or 30%, then you win.
Yeah. But
the nomination. Because.
But how do you win the general election? Very difficult.
Yeah, it's tough to come with a path right now when you take out, like, if you.
Georgia.
Is
Georgia a half? You did a lot of political work in Georgia. Georgia's a half to state for Republicans.
I don't know where else. What are you replacing it with? You got to replace it with other states that are even more difficult. So, first time around, Trump was able to take Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, these kind of states as well.
Not likely.
But they still don't replace
Georgia.
Georgia.
I think the politics of that are very, very,
but
very interesting.
But the bigger the field gets,
yep.
It's just like the first
time.
We're
not going to get into that because it's too early in the season to start worrying about it, but it's going to start getting serious here in about, what, about?
Yeah, and I think you could have a big field that whittles down before it matters.
Yeah, because
and that's not the same thing.
When do you think you start seeing real announcements?
Next month? February.
February, March.
February, yeah. Biden. I think when Biden really announces,
I think
you're going to
see. Delayed because of this controversy
maybe.
With the documents.
Because I think Ron Klain leaving was probably go to the campaign, and so it seems like they're still on track.
Yeah, I think he's gonna. I think Biden's gonna announce.
He's. I don't know how. I think the Democrats in general handle these situations better by just ignoring them.
Yes,
and kind of gaslighting you on it. They just say like, "That doesn't bother me. Why is it bothering you so much?" Like the FBI at their house, they act like that's just normal.
And we know
and they don't make a big fit over it.
No, but right, our team does, and. This
well,
is an interesting...
our team is a lot more nervous with the FBI because the,
well, the FBI is hostile.
Yeah,
it's a hostile good reason. Issue. But it's interesting because you said that. We know now from information that's come out this week that if they did not consent to a 13-hour search right. by the FBI, that the Department of Justice was getting a search warrant on the sitting president of the United States. Ask me what I think about that. Absurd. It makes us look again like Venezuela. And we don't need to look that way on the world stage. So that does it for the broadcast today. Let me encourage you to support our work here at the ACLJ. And I'm talking this month about the broadcast. And you're going to hear me talking about it in February, too. Because, you know, we talk about all these cases, and your support of that is critical. But a lot of you enjoy this broadcast. You like hearing it on radio. You like watching it on Rumble or YouTube or Facebook, wherever you get your social media. You enjoy it. We give you a lot of information. You hear from our experts. Your support for the ACLJ allows us to get the airtime to continue this broadcast. So I want to encourage you to go to ACLJ.org today and support our work, especially those of you that are listening to us right now or broadcasting, watching us on, as I said, on Rumble, YouTube, Facebook, wherever you're watching us. Do it. Go to ACLJ.org, ACLJ.org, and support the work of the ACLJ, which, as I said, includes keeping this vital broadcast on the air. ACLJ.org, new Secular Brothers podcast today, secularbrothers.com.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.